Let's do this thing. Welcome, everybody. It is a John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. How the heck are you? It's me, Dave, and all the best stuff from today's show for you. Coming off our big, bad bonfire, which took place over the weekend, Saturday night, it was fantastic. Thanks to everybody that came out. Hope you had a great time. Don't know how you couldn't have. We reacted to all kinds of things that took place at the bonfire today before we launched into a bunch of NFL announcer news, specifically some interesting things that Al Michaels and Dick Stockton had to say over the weekend. Musicologist Chris Epting was back on the show today, this time enlightening us on the band. And as it's a Monday morning, of course, we rounded up the stupid humanity out there in the news and did away with them. Another round of Thin the Herd for you. Let's get to all the good stuff. Here it is. Enjoy. It's a Daily Podcast.
We all lived through what was the best bonfire.
Yeah,
my God, it was so good.
It was great.
It was really good. I hope you were there with us. We'll tell you more about it during the course of the show. But it was just, it was a great fire. It was a great day. It was a huge crowd. It was perfect. It was as good as it could possibly be. I can't imagine it even getting better than that.
No, me neither.
All right, you know.
We outdid ourselves.
There is a way. Steve and I have a way to make it better.
How's that?
Right. But it seems our legal department has a problem with it.
What were you brainstorming over?
You ever see those videos of the people chasing the wheels of cheese down a mountain in England?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
We keep wanting to do that. And every time we look at that mountain.
It is tailor-made for it.
Oh, yeah. It's not too steep. Yeah.
Right? It's perfect. Yeah.
There's probably not rocks there.
No, it was grassy.
Yeah. So just right. And you know, and if you break a leg, you know, well, you signed up. We didn't.
The John DeBella Podcast on Philadelphia's number one classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Something happened last night during Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels was watching the game, talking about the Giants, and then went on to say this, and, well, an uproar started.
I mean, let's face it, the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein, and they're up by 14 points.
All right, now, literally within moments after that, someone must have gotten into his headphones and said, no, you can't say something like this. And all of a sudden you hear Al Michaels go.
Back in Denver, sorry I made a reference earlier before, tried to be a little flip about somebody obviously very much in the news all over the country and was not meant in that manner.
Yes, it was. It was exactly
and it was funny as hell.
It was funny as hell, and there was no reason to, well, at least as far as I'm concerned, no reason to apologize for it. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone on this.
No,
but
you're not.
But it's getting to the point that no matter what you say nowadays, I am outraged by the amount of outrage in this country.
Yes, thank you.
All right, no matter what is going on, somebody is outraged about it. Fine, let them be pissed.
It's called comedy.
Right.
It's going to be at the expense of someone.
Exactly.
In this case, it's at the expense of this pig, not the victim. Not the assaultees.
Exactly. So I'm just sort of curious, right? We'll do a quick text ball, an instant text ball right now. Should Al Michaels have apologized for this joke? Okay, so once again, in case you didn't hear it.
So the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein, and they're up by 14 points.
All right, so text one for yes, two for no. I'm going to be in shock over how many ones might show up. Text one for yes, two for no to MGK, MGK. Was that worth apologizing for? Boston, more than a feeling. I got a feeling that the voting is going to sway in one direction today on the instant text poll.
Instant.
It's quick, easy.
Instantly.
Right now.
Instant gratification.
Survey said.
Before we get to the survey, we'll ask Cindy, what do you think? Should he have apologized for his Harvey Weinstein quip?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's true. Harvey had a bad week.
Exactly. Well, let's put it this way. You're in the larger group. Right? 96% of our listeners responding to this are in agreement with he should not have apologized for that at all. Four whole people said, no, he should have. And one guy texts in going on, what's next? No, we're not talking about what's next. And I think this is where a lot of these problems lie. Mm-hmm. It's like people start thinking about where it could go. No, because if we nip everything in the bud, you know, it's like, why do we need penicillin? We have aspirin, right? You know, so it's like, you know, come on, things have got to start somewhere, and obviously things have got to stop somewhere. But apologizing for that is absolutely ridiculous. All right, so. There, my speech. I'm done.
All right? We have the landslide to prove it.
Yeah, we have the landslide to prove it. Thank you for all being in agreement with us.
Validated.
For those four people who disagreed with us, how do you listen to this show? So we make jokes about everything.
The John DeBella Podcast.
That's great. Go ahead, make your jokes, Mr. Jokey. Joke maker.
102.9.
That's funny.
MGK.
And as long as we're talking football, something happened yesterday during the Jaguars-Rams game, and Steve's favorite announcer, Dick Stockton, is the person who did this.
Time to hang him up.
He had a Ron Burgundy moment. I don't mind Dick Stockton. I like listening to Dick Stockton. It's looking at Dick Stockton I find very, very difficult.
Who's
that guy that's always in the booth with him? Mark Strell?
Schlereth.
Schlereth? That's where he says. Every time I see his name come up on the screen, it's like, no, that's going to hurt my mouth. I can't say Schlereth. No, there's no way at all. Anyway, he had a true Ron Burgundy moment. They handed him some copy.
Okay.
Right? And he read everything that was there, including the notes. All right, so this is him.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Come on.
I've got plenty of problems with Dick Stockton because he can't say the team names usually that are playing the game. He gets all the players wrong.
He says Jaguars.
He's just
the
old.
Jaguars.
He's been doing it for a long time.
Very long time.
But this is the reason that put him out the pasture. It's hang him up, Dick.
I need to hear this again.
And listen to Mark. Listen to Mark. There's a pause and his follow through. Listen to this.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Well, sometimes young.
God.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Of course, you know this means war.
102.9.
Slaughter all who stand in our way.
MGK.
Saturday night, Cindy, you have no idea what a great event you missed.
I've seen pictures. It looked pretty cool.
It was better than ever. And I got to say, across the board, thank you all. Thank you all for coming out to the Big Bad Bonfire. Huge, huge crowd. Right?
It was massive, man.
And the wildest thing was, and folks, please understand what I'm saying here. The a-hole count was zero. Was zero.
That's so true. Everybody was having a great time.
Because sometimes people come up to us and they'll say the oddest things. Last year, some guy came up to me to complain about, before the fire was lit, about the size of the fire. How could you call it? You know, it wasn't tall enough for him.
You call those pallets?
Right. You know, and we're like, really? And like, you know. So, but people come up and they'll say the strange, but not that this year it was terrific. And hey, wait a second. I think I need some props for pumpkin ski ball.
It went off well.
It went off well.
I was skeptical when I first walked up there, but people figured it out.
We had to get
some good oomph under it.
Yep.
Launching in the air.
Yeah, right. We had a good time with that, and just
give out a smoker, right?
Right. We gave out a smoker.
Cool.
The food was great. Right. You guys were a big help.
Yes.
Having babies strapped to you, so you didn't have to do anything all night long.
Those cute babies.
Don't ever
were
tell
we
us.
That obvious
don't ever
Steve?
Tell us Dave and I aren't prepared. There was planning put into this event.
It's a very important prop.
It's like I'm sitting there, and as people are throwing these pumpkins, they're rolling them up the ramp there, Sin, right? You know, here I'm bending over, picking up pumpkins for all of the misses, and I'm like, why is the old man doing all the bending?
Seriously, why are you doing it when there's promotion staff to do it?
Exactly.
They were tracking the game itself. Right, you know, and you two are standing there going, look, we have babies.
That's right. Cool dad's club.
Yeah, babies and beers.
Right. That's right.
By the way,
nice combo.
Dave's kid has an alcohol problem. Dave's kid wanted in his beer so badly. He was gonna do a 2.5 gainer into that damn beer if he could. It was hilarious to watch.
He's still reaching right now in his crib at home. It's out there somewhere. So,
but it was a great night. Thank you all for being there. We could not have expected better. Our thanks to everybody at Spring Mountain and Mad Trio. It was just an out-and-out great night. Oh, and I learned something new.
What's that?
Right. Have you heard about chinning?
I have not.
Chinning is this new thing because I went to take a picture with somebody, and she goes, come on, let's do chinning. I said, okay. I didn't know what the hell she wanted to do. It's this new thing where you take pictures forcing yourself to have a double chin.
Oh, so like from the angle bottom up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So but you do this with your face. And like,
super sexy.
Yeah, who brought this idea on? Okay.
I don't even have to try to do that.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK. Our good friend, author, and musicologist Chris Epting is going to join us this morning to talk about the band. By the way, Dave, just as a note for you.
Yes.
This Saturday is the day that Arby's serves the venison sandwiches. Okay, so.
Well, I'll be in the tree stand working on my own.
Okay.
But thanks for the tip.
I don't think they're expensive. They'll only be a couple of bucks.
Oh, he's here all week, folks.
It's not going to cost much dough.
No, don't.
So I got them both covered there.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Liar!
Whoa!
102.9 MGK.
He's back. Yes, the man who gave us "If There's a Puzzle in Your Hedgerow," 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 1970s. Chris Epting is here. Hiya, Chris.
How are you, John?
I am doing really good right now because I know we're going to talk about one of my favorite bands of all time, The Band.
Yeah, we dip back a little bit into the late 60s here. It's one of my favorites as well. And I mean, you probably remember where you were when their debut record came out, right? Music from Big Pink.
It was life-changing, that album.
For a lot of listeners and musicians alike. I mean, that's an album that reached the Beatles. I mean, everybody, you know, at the top was really influenced by this all the way down the food chain, and with good reason. I mean, it was a really unique record, you know, recorded at that little pink house up in Woodstock, New York, which you can still drive right past. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool to go see.
It must be a bitch, if you think about it, to be the owner of that house and know that, like, you've got to keep it painted pink forever.
No kidding. I actually knocked on its door once just for begging for a tour of the basement to see where the basement tapes were done, and the guy let me in.
Oh, wow.
He did. He was actually really cool. So I'm not recommending that to everybody. But this was a number of years ago. But hey, you never know. You do get lucky. But of course, one of the most iconic tunes on that album was "The Wait," and I'm sure that's one of your favorites too. With those great interchangeable vocals, trying to figure out who's singing what.
Who's singing what exactly?
But that opening line, "I pulled in Nazareth," was feeling about half past that. One of the great lines on the album, and it always struck me, like, what Nazareth are they talking about? That album is so rich with symbolism and metaphors, and you know, you're thinking about the Bible and all this, but in fact the Nazareth that they're talking about, that when Robbie Robertson wrote that, was talking about Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which was the home base of Martin Guitars.
Oh my God!
That's cool.
So it was really not as, you know, I mean, again, not that there isn't a lot of symbolism on the record, but that's a very kind of functional reference to a town they had passed through a bunch of times where Robbie would actually go play guitars, you know, in Nazareth. And really, I mean, Martin Guitars in Nazareth is a very big deal. It sort of helps define that charming little town in Pennsylvania.
It helps employ that charming little town in Pennsylvania.
It sure does. And locals were thrilled when they learned they had been immortalized in that song. But I think what's even more important about that tune, that line rather, is there was a Scottish band back in the late 60s who were also very influenced by that record. They were just starting out. They actually chose their name from the name of that band, Nazareth.
Hold on a second. The band Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, actually picked their name, so it's not another Bible reference. They took it from the band?
They took it from this line in "The Wait," the band, of course, that went on to do "Hair of the Dog" and "Love Hurts." I mean, cool band. I mean, it's, you know, Nazareth was great, and they were so influenced. That's why I said it wasn't just the Beatles all the way down. Even to this struggling, up and coming, newly formed band, they were so taken with it. That's where they clipped their name from.
Wow, you know, not only does "Love Hurts," sometimes knowledge does too.
As the case may be.
Well, this is the band. He is Chris Epting, Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
I think we're going to go old school this morning.
Okay.
It's time to thin the herd.
Thin the herd.
Back in the old West, as cowboys moved cattle across this great land of ours, some of those cows couldn't make it. They'd slow down the drive. They'd weaken the rest, and eventually the cowboys would have to remove them from the group. They would, in fact, have to
thin the herd.
We feel the same needs to be done to our own society, so once again, here at Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK, it's time to
Spin the Herd.
And let me start right here in our very own neighborhood in DeBelaware, to be exact. Samuel Phipps of Newcastle, DeBelaware, was caught driving drunk after we swerved on the highway and crashed his Land Rover into a guardrail. But there were two explanations as to what happened. Samuel's explanation, when the cops got there, Samuel explained that he didn't swerve and crash because of the alcohol in his system. No, he swerved and crashed because he didn't want to hit the elephant in the road.
What?
Okay. Now, the cops didn't believe Samuel's elephant story for two reasons. One, they couldn't find an elephant anywhere. And two, because he was hallucinating on PCP.
Oh, good.
Okay. So he was promptly arrested. The elephant is safe back wherever it might have come from. And this was his seventh DUI.
In the Herd.
What do you got, Steve?
All right, we go to Palm City, Florida, where police saw a messed up Saturn run a stop sign. The right tire on this Saturn was blown out. The remains were slapping against the wheel well, so police decided to pull the driver over. Turns out 19-year-old Michael Rexford of Palm City, Florida, smelled like alcohol. He told the cops that his car was, quote, woogity.
Woogity?
Woogity.
It was woogity.
And that they didn't need to arrest him for DUI because he had a solution to how to fix his woogity car. He told them that his father was an Autobot. Like Transformers and Optimus Prime.
Seems
and
legit.
Bumblebee, yes. And that he could easily fix the tire. For some reason, the excuse didn't work, and he was arrested for DUI.
In the Herd.
Oh, a lot of DUI today. What do you got, Dave?
I'm in Florida, too, and Steve's story involved a Saturn. Mine involves Uranus, or her anus in this case, 47-year-old Michelle Myers of Stewart, Florida. She was driving her Chevy Trailblazer a few weeks ago and swerving, so a cop pulled her over. He said she smelled like alcohol and asked if she was drunk, and she said, quote, God almighty, I don't know. God almighty, I only had two beers. Even though she said she'd only had two beers, the cop gave her a sobriety test, at which point she promptly pooped her pants. In the middle of the sobriety test, she pooped her pants. If that wasn't enough of a sign, she was definitely drunk. She also failed the sobriety test, in case you cared, and was arrested for DUI.
Just so you guys know, we might have to thin this herd over here. I laughed so hard that I farted.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
you might have to thin this herd. Sorry, guys.
I'm glad you're on that side of the room. All right. Well, here's the one story this morning that doesn't have to do with a DUI. Sylvia Machea of Los Angeles, California, was driving home from Tijuana, Mexico. This was in her 2006 Ford Focus. And the customs agents at the border waved her right through. Unfortunately for Sylvia, she made a wrong turn into the secondary lot where customs officers send people for inspections.
Ah.
The agents at that lot didn't realize that she wasn't supposed to be there, that she was there by mistake, and gave her car a thorough examination, where they found 27 pounds of meth that she was smuggling. Right? She wound up pleading guilty to felony count of drug importing, and she's been sentenced to 6 years and 4 months in federal prison.
In the Herd.
The John Bella Podcast. John DeBella.
As you know, Aaron Rodgers probably out for the rest of the season. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback from the Packers. Was it dislocated shoulder? Is that,
I think it was collarbone.
Collarbone. Yeah. That's what it was. Right. ESPN, the way they treated it, tell me if this doesn't sound like this is their report on Aaron Rodgers breaking his collarbone. Tell me if this doesn't sound like the trailer for a new action film.
Cobb in motion to the slot on the left side. Newman right with him. Snap to Rodgers. Steps up, scrambles right, buying time, dumps it up, and Bennett dropped it incomplete. He was wide open. Another drop for Martellus Bennett.
Aaron Rodgers, slow to get up, Wayne. Tough day today, but as a football team, we have to move forward.
Rodgers down on his back near the 30-yard line.
This was a hard day. We all understand the magnitude.
We didn't do anything to this. This is how ESPN ran it.
This is the real Ben.
This is the real thing.
Aaron Rodgers just now getting up.
That doesn't look good.
The bed's a little much.
This isn't Band of Brothers.
Right. And it goes on. And it goes on, you know.
This is a team game. I have confidence in Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley's my quarterback. Joe Callahan's a backup. That's the direction we're going. That is the focus. And that's where we are.
a little bit too much.
In the words of Aaron Rodgers, the ESPN, R-E-L-A-X.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Liar! Whoa!
102.9. MGK.